That was pretty magical. I feel like maybe I should just be quiet now and not talk. Especially because the beginning of my sermon is a bit different from what we just did. I'll go ahead and get it over with here at the beginning. I'll go ahead and tell you two bad holiday jokes. I don't know how many of you know that Santa has two favorite hobbies, golfing and birdwatching. On the first day of Christmas, he practiced self-care by taking a break from the busy North Pole and going out on the golf course with one of the elves, enjoying the early morning bird song. They got to one of the holes that's called a par three hole, and just then, a large gray bird landed in front of them. The elf said, "Look, a partridge on a par three." There's only one more bad holiday joke to go. And I want to make sure to include diverse sources of humor. So here's a Star Wars riddle. How did Darth Vader know what Luke was getting for Christmas? He felt his presence. Presence is our congregation's worship theme for this month. And I don't mean presence like gifts, but presence like that thing that is so hard to name. Presence like the feeling of another person, or presence like being in the present moment, or presence like an assurance that things will be okay. And for this week, I invite us to focus in on what presence means during times of waiting. So what does it mean to be waiting? In the simplest terms, it is things like waiting for a bus, waiting in the checkout line, waiting on hold during a phone call. This time of year, it can mean waiting for a special event. I know a lot of parents who find pleasure in setting up events that their children enjoy anticipating. In the Christian tradition, this is the season of Advent, in which people anticipate celebrating the birth of Christ. Now, in those examples, in some of the examples, waiting can be full of hope. Hopeful waiting could be knowing that you might receive a gift or looking forward to a good meal. But in this human life, in our complex human lives, waiting is usually not that simple. As I've explored this notion of waiting, I particularly like the word trepidation, because it has multiple layers of meaning, a tinge of fear and anticipation, but also sometimes a sense of action. Even things we want in life can be waited for with hope and trepidation mixed together. Things that a person might hope for but also feel trepidation about are a couple awaiting their marriage, a woman awaiting the birth of her child. And this happens not only for individuals, but for groups of people too. Right here in this congregation, our board of trustees is definitely filled with hope and trepidation as they work toward figuring out the next steps for hiring a lead minister. And then there are things that we did not want and did not choose, but are happening anyway, like waiting for a diagnosis, waiting to hear if an estranged family member will call this holiday season. Like waiting for the parole board to make their decision. On a bigger scale, on a national level, the impeachment hearings have a lot of people full of waiting and uncertainty and wondering what will happen in the next national election is a time of waiting with hope and trepidation. On a large group, national and probably international level. So waiting, I think, has a feeling to it. Listen while I read to you this self-reflection by the Reverend Pamela Bartz, who describes times when waiting feels vague and undefined and therefore unbearable. She writes, "When I can't imagine how to bear the waiting, I go walking. It's as if by moving, I can bring myself quicker to the end of the wait. As walking up an escalator brings you faster to the top. But since I don't know what or where the wait's end will be, the restless walking usually brings me home tired out, but waiting still." So that is one person's story about how she handles waiting, movement while she's waiting. Another picture of waiting is the experience of people who are living incarcerated. In the movie The Shawshank Redemption, based on the book by Stephen King, there are characters who are living in prison. In the opening scene, a man is asking the parole board to give him release, but they tell him to wait. Another man arrives at the prison and has to adjust to prison life. Each person in the prison is waiting in their own unique way, some with anger, some with creativity, some with cleverness. Those who find a way to believe that they are contributing to their release seem to be the ones who have the most hope. Some study for a degree in hopes of getting out early. Some hide the tiny things they are doing to plan their escape. But they can bear the waiting because they find a sense of agency, meaning they have a healthy sense of control over an end to their waiting. So it is when waiting is about liberation. Liberation meaning freedom. Waiting for liberation is a whole nother universe of waiting than waiting in line at the grocery store. We see in the Black Lives Matter movement that some folks have decided they will continue to take actions to disrupt the current system while they also wait for structural change. It is a paradox. It is a both and. Similarly, we see youth that are leading the way in keeping the eyes of the media on the topic of climate change while they are waiting for politicians to change policies. The paradox is that while waiting for change, one can work for change. What this means is that our mindset during a time of waiting can have a certain kind of outlook. If we focus our minds on what lies ahead, we may miss out on what's happening right now. And this, my friends, is when the gift of presence can help us, meaning being in the present moment can help us. There are so many classic tales of a person waiting for an extravagant holiday only to realize that in simple and humble ways, they have love and abundance right in front of them. As we delve deeper into what it means to wait, I invite us to consider not only waiting for things on the outside, but things on the inside too. Our emotional and spiritual landscape may be invisible to those around us, but it may be keenly time-sensitive inside ourselves. A person might be waiting for an emotional or spiritual inner liberation. I'd like to share with you one person's story, and this comes from an Anglican priest. She's a young woman who now serves as a college chaplain in Canada. And in the essay that I'm going to share with you, she's looking back on how her own years in college were filled with depression and dark struggles. She was able to find friends who were not afraid of her struggle or shocked by her behaviors. And by experiencing their compassion, she journeyed to a place of more stability. I'd like to read to you her description of a time she felt so lonely and uncertain that she began seeking relief by harming herself, and then abruptly stopped in the middle of one situation. She abruptly stopped to go seek a friend, in her words, a friend to hold her accountable. She describes the situation. Rachel listened quietly, giving me her full attention. She did not act like I was crazy and did not overreact and run for help. She did exactly what I had hoped she would: embody Jesus for me so I could bring my racing mind back to this time and place. It's okay, she comforted me. I know what it's like to hate yourself. This will pass, and it will get better. I knew she was right. The darkness would not stretch on forever. By sharing this story with you, what I want to communicate to you here today is that waiting doesn't have to happen alone. Waiting for pain to pass, waiting for uncertainty to end, can happen with company. That can be the company of friends, and it can be the company of a sacred presence. The woman who wrote that went on to describe how she grew to understand the physical sensations that accompanied her depression could sometimes be met by doing prayer in a physical way. One of those was walking the labyrinth. She writes about her experience. I learned that when we act out our prayers the way we do while walking a labyrinth, they stimulate our right brain, the creative center that longs to encounter God with all the joy and abandon of a child. So we see, my friends, that while waiting, our minds can race and our hearts can fear, but that is not the way it has to be. We have spiritual practices, we have fellow humans, and we have the presence of a love beyond naming. All of these give us hope, even when the nights are long and cold and the world seems filled with despair. Waiting does not mean stillness or stuckness. Waiting can involve movement chosen by you. This sounds so simple, but I'm going to use this example. Even if you're sitting in the dentist chair and have to be perfectly still, you can pay attention to the movement of your breath. My friends, as you go forth into the weeks ahead and into this season that can be filled with so many different experiences, may your outlook be one of curiosity in each present moment, feeling each sensation, whether challenging or easy, and staying fully alive so that when you look back, you will not remember a time of waiting, but a time of being fully present in each moment. Keep your days full, counting your blessings each day, even if it means counting the 12 days of Christmas. And that's my last attempt at a joke. Blessed be. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence.